So, it's like get ready to share the message. This is one of those that's been written 97 times and rewritten 97 more, and I wake up and go, I just still hate it. Part of the reason I hate it is because I know that it's going to bring struggle. I don't want it to bring struggle. I want peace all the time. I want happy and joy and easy. Everybody likes easy. I like easy. But I want you to know this, friends. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent lay hold of it. It's a choice you have to make. The best example I can offer you is those old boys that climbed up on the roof and cut a hole in the roof. I think that's a great example. The kingdom of heaven was within their grasp, but they couldn't get to it. The house was just too crowded. There were too many people. And they said, you know what? We will not be denied. They climbed up on that guy's roof, cut a hole in it, and dropped their friend down. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent, those willing to cut the hole in the roof, they will take it. This morning, I want to encourage you not to be afraid to take the kingdom. Let's turn this morning to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. Now, I will tell you, I'm going to be all over the board. So if you're kind of in one of those lethargic states where you're kind of shifting in and out, you're going to get lost. So buckle up, hang on. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. Paul says this. He says, I became servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God. I want you to understand that the mystery that he's speaking about here is that the Gentiles would join with the Jews and that they would be part of God's family. To make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. Okay, now listen. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom or the multiplicity of wisdom or the many tributaries of God's wisdom coming together should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. To the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, there's a lot going on in that passage. God had a plan. He had a purpose. You need to understand that. His purpose was eternal. It goes beyond this age. And that purpose was completed when Christ died on the cross. That obedience of Christ on the cross, His shedding of blood for you, is what opened the door. And the mystery of God, which then was hidden from the beginning of time, was now made clear to everybody. The Gentiles would too be counted as children of God. And Paul's saying here that this mystery has to be made known, is being made known to the heavenly rulers, to the powers and the authorities in the heavenlies. I think that's something important to take note of. I want you to understand that God has a purpose in His children, in you and I. There is a purpose that you and I serve and will fulfill. It's time for us to grow up and to embrace that purpose. Far too often we just warm seats and we don't do anything until next Sunday when we come back and warm some more seats. It was never the purpose that God had for us. Let's pray. Father, I invite you to come today. We invite you to come today, Lord Jesus. Come and speak your word. I pray, Father, you would help me to just get out of your road and share with your people the things that you want to share with them. I pray, Father, you'd help me not to go beyond what's written. I pray, Lord, you'd help me to encourage and strengthen your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to come back and I want to talk about this purpose of God explaining things in the heavenlies. We're talking about angels and things like that they need to hear. But I need you to have a foundation of what's going on with men. And I shared this with you in part last week. Part of what I want you to see is that man's nature, our desire, is to have a God of some sort, of some kind. What I like as a man, I like there being the idea of a supreme being who I can call on when I'm in trouble. That just makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I got an ace in my pocket, right? I need someone who can deliver me from my oppressors. And sometimes when I'm entering a really hard period in my life, knowing that there is a God I can cry out to, He gives me strength. But I'm speaking not as Christians, I'm speaking as men. And in general, men want that. We want the idea of a supreme being to be there for us. I just want Him to play by my rules. That's all. I want Him to do what I want, when I want Him to do it. He needs to do it my way. I don't want a God who isn't under my control, right? Somebody's sick. I expect my God to come and fix that because I deem it to be necessary, not because He deems it so. Really, what men want is something more akin to a genie than a God. They want somebody who will answer their wishes. Something, someone all-powerful who can deliver them, but at the same time promises to be subservient to them. Just do it my way, in my time, the way I think it needs to be done. And that's the whole rub, really, with the God of heaven. See, that's not who He is. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, He's not a God like that. He came and He delivered Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And He was not a God like they were used to. They were used to a God whose power had been ascribed to them. Everybody tells me how cool that God is, and so I worship Him. This God showed up and started raining hellfire and brimstone, and people are dying, and flies are showing up, and frogs everywhere. Things are different with this God. His power was real, and it was there for everybody to see. Now, I need you to have that understanding of this nature of men. We want a God. And see, what would happen is they would go out in the desert, and they would meet the God who just delivered them, and He scared them. Smoke and billows of smoke, fire, brimstone on top of the mountain, a trumpet. Yeah, I don't think we're going to go see Him today. He's scary because He's real and He's powerful. And so, when Moses went up the mountain, they decided, we'll just create us a golden calf. And we'll ascribe to Him, we'll say He's the one who brought us out of that bad place. Because we can control Him. If He talks too much, we'll put Him in the barn. You need to understand that nature exists in men. All men. Mankind, men and women. We want God, a God, some God, who will fight our battles, but at the same time, we want to control His actions. We want the benefits of God without submitting to God. Maybe I could say it better this way. We want to be like God, independent of God. You just need to give you a minute to catch up with me. You want to be like God, independent of God. You want to make all the rules, all the decisions. You want to set all the timelines, and you want to figure out what should happen when and where and to who and why. And now you want Him to implement your will. You ever been in a prayer meeting where you say, you know, I'm just having a rough day. Could you pray for me? And somebody diagnoses your problem, writes a prescription, and prays their prescription on you. I just wanted you to pray for me. I didn't need all the loosing and binding and all. Just pray for me was all I needed. You understand what I'm saying? We want the power of God independent of God. And if you can get your head around it, this in a nutshell is really the problem at the Garden of Eden. That was really the big issue they had. See, they wanted the knowledge of good and evil. They wanted to be like God. He had something they didn't have. But they wanted that independent of Him. They wanted the knowledge of God without relying on God for it. Guys, you need to understand, it doesn't work like that. And this is why often the church is so sideways in how she approaches things. We ask God to do something and He doesn't do it, and then we get mad at God. Well, let's back up just a little bit. I don't know if you're familiar with the story or the account, rather, of Lucifer. Lucifer would later become Satan. He would fall. I don't know if you can think about it in the right way or in any way, but do you understand that was his problem too? He simply wanted to be like God, independent of God. That was his nature. He wanted to be God without any of God's rules. I want to share with you a secret. Maybe it's even worth writing down. The created can never become the creator. Ever. You will never attain to that. And so many religions, when you complete the religion, you become God. It doesn't work like that. How could you ever? How could the created ever become the creator? It's just simply not possible. It's not logical. Nonetheless, Lucifer is going to stage a coup in heaven. He's going to try to take the place over. And somehow, beyond my whole train of thought, he managed to get a whole bunch of other angels on his team. They start fighting with him and for him. Kind of get a kick out of people. They'll say, well, you know, the real big difference between angels and men is that angels don't have free will and man does. Can I just suggest to you this account? This would say otherwise. They had a choice and they made their choice. And even today they pay the price for that choice. And so in his effort to be like God, Lucifer would be changed into Satan. He would shift into Satan. He would go from the bright and shining one, sometimes that's interpreted as the morning star, he would go from that to being called the accuser of the brethren. That's what Satan really means, the accuser of the brothers. I want to take just a minute. I've got a little bit of time. I want to read just a bit of that account out of Ezekiel 28, chapter 12. I want you to listen to the wording. He calls Ezekiel the son of man. He says, son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Now, I need to give you some background. The way that God works in Scripture, the way that He speaks, often you will find double entendres. He's speaking now to the king of Tyre, but as we're listening to what he's saying to the real king of Tyre, you're going to hear things that the king of Tyre himself never possibly could have done. He's not qualified for those things. So listen and you'll hear those. This is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Okay, well, the king of Tyre was never in Eden. Every precious stone adorned you, carnelian, chrysolite, emerald, topaz, onyx, and jasper, lapis, lazuli, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and your mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared, and you were anointed as the guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You are on the holy mountain of God. You walked among the fiery stones. These are those same stones of the altar that in Isaiah 6, the living ones will take and touch Isaiah's lips with. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until wickedness was found in you. So here's what happened. Wickedness was found in him. And this to me is it's a great irony. I love the way God does things, and I want to show you that little picture. God had created Lucifer from the best of the best, the greatest of everything. Gold and gems, and they were prepared on that day. He was made from the best. And yet, he would become corrupted, and in the end, he will be destroyed. Now, let's contrast Son of Man. Son of Man is anybody born of woman, somebody who has come from the lineage of man. If you want to look in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, in this passage, God, Adam and Eve have already eaten of the fruit of the tree, and God is now pronouncing judgment. And God says this to Adam. He says, "By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." Do you see what God made Adam out of? Dust. Mud. Dirt. Didn't make him out of gold and gems. "From the dust you came, and to the dust you shall return." Can you see the picture that God's working in the background, that wonderful way God has of doing things? The most beautiful of all angels, made from the best and most precious of all materials. He would go from a very high position, and he will end less than nothing. And yet at the same time, man, who is made from the very least of all possible materials, is going to be elevated to one of the highest positions attainable. I love how God does things like this. See, this is part of this mystery unfolding and why God's proclaiming it in the heavenlies. I'm going to show you something out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. You can turn there if you want, or you can just listen. This is Paul. Now, what Paul's doing is he's rebuking the Corinthian church because they keep going to war in the courts against each other. He says this. He says, "If any of you has a dispute with another, do you dare take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the Lord's people? Or do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world?" Did you know that was going to happen? Did you know the Lord's people would judge the world? "Or do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial matters?" Whatever you're whining about, that's trivial. Okay, now he's going to take this a whole step further. Listen. "Do you not know that we will judge angels?" Wow. "How much more than the things of this life?" Guys, what I want you to see today, I know I'm kind of all over the place and bouncing around a lot, but I'm trying to draw all these little pieces together and pull them tight so you can see what God has planned for you, who He intends you to be, and what your destiny in Him is, what your position with Him is in the Lord. If you could catch a glimpse of who you are, and the role you play, your whole prayer life would change dramatically. How you prayed, when you prayed, and what you prayed, it would all change. Because you would see how important it actually is and that it's accomplishing something. Yikes. All right. The book of Hebrews now. This is a book, we don't know who the writer was. But we do know that it was written to the Hebrews, those who had some understanding of the law. It wasn't largely written to Gentiles who knew nothing of it. And he is going to begin to explain some of these things that I've been talking about this morning. Now, again, you have to understand, the book of Hebrews was a letter written to the Hebrews. It didn't arrive with chapter and verse. It was a letter, and you read the whole thing. I point that out because I'm going to start at the end of chapter 1 and I'm going to read into chapter 2. I just don't want you to feel like chapter 2 is this blunt cutoff. So in chapter 1, verse 14, and again, you can turn there. I really want you to hear what he's saying, though. The writer says this. He says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" That's you and me. Angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. And now he goes on with some correction. "We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment," remember we just talked about how all them angels got booted out of heaven? Just punishment, just reward. "If every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? The salvation which was first announced by the Lord back in the garden and confirmed by those of us who heard him." We spoke, heard what Jesus had to say to us. "And God also testified to it by signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will." This is why as a charismatic church, we don't stamp down the gifts. I want people to see the gifts of God. They need to see the gifts of God. I was so mad at the church. I didn't know he was alive. I thought he was just kind of this icon who hung around. And at some point in time, things were all going to shift and he was going to come down and explain stuff to us. I didn't know he was working in people's lives today. Surprise, he is. All right, now, stick with me. If you don't stick with me, you're going to call me a heretic. Stick with me. I didn't write this. I haven't massaged this. You can read it out for yourself. Verse 5, chapter 2. "It is not to the angels that he," that's God, "has subjected the world to come about which we are speaking." Okay, well, if it's not angels we're talking about, then who is it? Well, he's going to answer in verse 6. But like any really good Hebrew writer, he goes a long way around the barn. He says this. He says, "But there is a place," meaning there's a place in the Scripture, and that place is going to turn out to be Psalm 8. If you follow the little asterisk and go over, you'll see it in Psalm 8. "But there is a place where someone has testified, 'What is mankind that you are mindful of them?'" Now, if you're reading, your Bible might say him. Okay, well, that's completely appropriate because mankind can also, that is an appropriate pronoun. But the context of this passage is not a him, it's a them. It is children of men, anyone who is descended from woman. Jesus was the Son of Man. In fact, he liked that term so much, he called himself that a lot. Called himself the Son of Man. I just want you to understand this passage is not referring to just Jesus. Its whole context is mankind. People read this and they say, "Oh, well, no, that's clearly Jesus." It is Jesus, but it's all of mankind. Okay, let me read it all together. Now listen. "There's a place where someone has testified, 'What is mankind that you are mindful of them or him? A son of man that you care for him. You made them a little lower than the angels, and you crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet, at present, we do not see everything subject to them." How often have you ascribed that to Jesus only? Just because you don't think, "Man, that's not me." You may have to chew on this a while. I want you to know I've spent a lot of time and a lot of translations. Now, I just don't have the time. I'd like to take you through the whole rest of this chapter. The whole rest of chapter 2. Because he's going to go on to say that what's happened is Jesus, who was God, the Son of the living God, He too was made a little lower than the angels for just a time. And He overcame while He was here. He did everything God had called Him to do. And now, after taking this form, He's crowned with glory. Because He completed. He overcame. Guys, I want you to know that you one day too will be crowned with a glory. That is God's intention for you. The overcomers, not those who quit, not those who walk away, not those who are not the overcomers. And don't for a minute get me wrong. Don't make the mistake of thinking that He's going to elevate you to godhood. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're not going to be God. You'll never become His equal. But through the Spirit of adoption, we will become His sons, by which we will cry, Abba, Father. Romans 8:15. I wish you knew who you were, and I wish you knew the fear that you spark in the heavenly realm. If they realize who they are, we are in deep trouble. Let's just keep everything on the down low. Do you understand that you are destined to become the bride of the Christ? The greatest of all the overcomers ever. He was the Son of Man, but also the Son of the living God. He loves you, gave His life for you. I want you to consider for a moment, the intention is for you to be joined to Him. That's the intention. And you're joined to Him through a covenant of faith, right? When we came to Him by faith. But you're also going to be joined to Him in the spirit of adoption, too. And you're also going to be joined to Him in marriage. Do you suppose that somebody with those credentials serves no purpose? Has no possible thing to do here on earth? Son of man, that's who you are. Daughter of man. You play a role, a vital role in everything. In everything. But here we are, these wonderfully uniquely positioned people in the power of God and in the things He has for us, all whining because we aren't getting our way. Well, God just didn't do what I wanted. Now He wants me to go up to His mountain, and it's really scary up there, and I don't think I want to go do that. Guys, when you see Him, His power, they saw His power was awesome, and it was terrible, and it frightened them. Somehow they were still trying to control Him. I want you to understand, you're not going to control Him. He's not going to bow to your will. The truth is, it's just the opposite. He's given you everything that you need. He's given you everything. You just need to understand who you are. You need to catch a glimpse of who you are. All right, I'm gonna try to close. Good pastor closes at least twice. I'm going to try to close with Ezekiel 37. I know you're all probably familiar with this passage, but I want you to see a gleam in it. I want you to catch something out of it. This is the prophet speaking. He says, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and He brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. And He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. Bones that were very dry. And He asked me, 'Son of man.'" Did you notice what He called Him? "Son of man, can these bones live?" Man, what do you do when God asks you a question like that? I mean, on one hand, you want to say, "Yeah, I'm with you. I'm all faith." But on the other hand, I don't want to offer the sacrifice of fools and say something stupid. He handled this pretty well. "Lord, you know." "Yeah, I'm not going to say either way. Son of man, can these bones live?" And I said, "Sovereign Lord, You alone know." And then He said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life, and I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And of course you know the story. You know what's going to happen. These bones will come together and they will create a mighty army. That's not the point. The point is this. Why didn't God just speak to the bones himself? I mean, let's be honest. He was pretty specific about what he wanted the prophet to say. He dictated verbatim, this is what I want you to say to the bones. I don't want you to miss any of this stuff. Tell them exactly this. And the prophet did, just essentially regurgitated what God had just told him to say. Why not eliminate the middleman? What was the purpose of the prophet even being involved in that whole process? What if the prophet said something wrong? Wouldn't it have just been better for God just to have spoke to the bones himself and had it his way? Guys, this is what you must grasp. For whatever reason, I wished I could tell you the whys. I don't know. I know this. He has chosen to involve the sons of men in all things spiritual. You play a role. And you are all sons of men. Everybody in this whole gig has a role to play. God is the orchestrator of all things. His Son, the master and the commander of the armies. Angels have their roles to play. And friends, you and I, we have our role to play too. And you know, I'm kind of a math guy. Equations, they become very important. You know, technically, the helicopter doesn't work on paper. Just mathematically, it just doesn't work. It's missing a piece. But once you add that little piece, everything comes together. The math works. You, friends, are that variable. I need you to understand, you are this variable that makes the equation work. It doesn't work with just God and the angels. I don't want to make too much of it. There are times in this life where God can simply not find anybody who will just get hooked up. And so, since he can't find an intercessor, he'll roll up his own arm and he'll take care of it. Isaiah 59:15. Now I guess there's a second closing. Truth is missing. And whoever turns away from evil becomes prey. The Lord looked, and he was displeased that there was no one to intercede. And so his own arm brought salvation, and his own righteousness sustained him. I want you to understand something. God will do what has to be done. God's plan is going to happen exactly the way he wants it to happen. It will not fail if you won't take your place. But I want you to know that you are his first choice. He would like you to be involved in the things that are happening. He chose to involve us in these things. He gave you weapons so that you would be equipped. He gave you wisdom and knowledge through his word. And then he did something crazy. He placed his spirit within you. His spirit, that same spirit that rose Christ from the dead, he put that in you. It's to be your guide. And it's also a deposit of the promise of his return to come and get you. See, the angels, they have one kind of strength, and it's a wonderful strength. But we have another. It's a very different kind of strength. And it's a very important kind of strength. It's a strength that makes the equation balance. It's a piece that wins the battle. You know, if you've ever read through the book of Daniel, Daniel begins to pray and he sets all of heaven's armies, both the angels and the demons, sets them all to work. One prayer, one man. Angels are cool, but I will tell you this, the angels believe because they've seen. How much cooler is it to believe and never have seen? Angels are much stronger than us, much more powerful than us, and yet which of them contains the Spirit of the living God? None. None. Which of them wields the weapon of the blood? Because the blood wasn't shed for them. I wish you knew who you were. Which of them will wed the Christ? None. I'm sure they'll be in attendance. Friends, it's in us that the mystery of God is made complete. And that mystery of God is proclaimed to the heavenlies. To all the heavenlies, to the powers and the authorities and the rulers in the heavenly realms. Those are my kids. Those are my people. Those are my children. You, friends, are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are the sons of men. We have a purpose here on earth, and our purpose extends to the heavenly realm. Kingdom of heaven from the time of John the Baptist has been suffering violence, and the violent lay hold of it by force. Jesus, help us. Lord Jesus, help us. Father, I pray today that you would give us some insight into who we are. Father, help us to know who you've created us to be. Father, I pray for those today, Father, who are just tired. I pray, Father, you'd restore their flesh. Restore their strength. Father, for those who have been beaten down, I pray, Father, you would refresh them in Jesus' name. Father, for those who haven't yet caught a glimpse of who they are, I pray, Father, you would bring revelation to them. I pray, Father, you would help us to rise up as the body and, according to your word, crush Satan under our feet. Father, I pray for this house. I pray, Father, you'd bring us closer together, knit us closer together. And Father, help us to lay hold of that thing for which Christ laid hold of us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, hope you got something there. And I hope you have to dig a little bit. I hope you go, you know, some of this stuff, I'm not sure that's true. Good, go dig. Be a good Berean. The Bereans weren't like the others. They received the word with joy, and then they went to see if it was true. Well, go do that. Praise the Lord. Chris, do you want to come?